Jenny's going to read to us, I believe, from 1 Peter chapter 1.
Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thanks be to God for his word.
Marion, over to you.
This is going to be short, and you're going to know all of it before. This is revision. This is teacher saying, here's your revision. Peter begins, to God's elect. That's you. So he's writing to you. Do you know there's an election on Thursday? Have you got the news? How many pamphlets have you had? How many knocks at the door have you had? How many people have you told to go away? Well, I have a confession to make. Fred and I can't vote. Because we forgot to get a proxy vote or a postal vote and we won't be here. So we're not voting. Sorry. So it's not our fault, whoever you choose. But a lot of candidates are up for election and hordes of people will come and put their cross, three crosses is it for here, in the right place, and someone will be chosen by the vote of the people. But God's people aren't chosen by votes, they're chosen by him. They're chosen, they're called, they're loved, they're died for, they're cared for. Can you remember at school when you were playing a game and somebody had to be it, like you were playing Tiggy or, what did you call it, tag, posh here you'd be, and or hide and seek, and you had to choose who was going to be it, yeah? Well, at school, we all put our fists in to a circle, you see, and whoever was doing it would go, dig, dab, dob, dum, one, two, three, out goes she, and you'd get a right clout, until one was chosen to be it. The selection of God's elect is in no way random. Like our game was. It's personal, it's direct, and it's a choice that we have to make. Peter writes, to God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul says, chosen before the foundation of the world. And that doesn't mean God had a huge list of everybody who would ever be born and go, I'll have that, I won't have that, I'll have that. It means God knew you by name before the world began. And he knew the day when you would say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The foundation of God, stand sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Could easily get sort of tied up with language if we didn't remember that God is eternal. And this eternal God who lives in the isness of time, not there was, will be time, but in time, which is eternal. And in this nowness of time, he knew the now when each of us would know him. The Lord knows, not knew, knows. Moses, Noah, Ruth, Esther, Isaiah, Nahum, what a name, Philemon, and so on, and so on, and so on. And they were counted among the elect. And the Lord knows us here tonight. There's no possibility of hiding from God. He knows us. He is the omnipotent God. He knows our anxieties. He knows our cares. He knows the state of our mind. He knows those who wish they knew him better. He knows those who are happy with a quick sing and a prayer and that'll do, thank you. God knows every detail of our walk with him. Oh, for a closer walk with God. You know I like words, so I have to have some words in. So this is what I wrote down. In the unfathomable, incomprehensible, vast timelessness of eternity, God knows you and me. He was there before Adam, and he knows you and me. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it mind-blowing? Well, I find it mind-blowing anyway. But it's even more amazing that this God who knows me, the me of all of you, and knows all about us, and knows the times when we're a bit grumpy and not very happy and not very nice. But more than that, he just doesn't just know us. He wants us to know him. And that's a vast difference. He knows all about us. He knows all about everybody. But he also knows who knows him. He knows when we would listen to or read the gospel and turn to him. And you know, he's written our names in his book. He knows the time, he knows the date, he knows the name, he knows the circumstances. Do you remember how you came to Jesus? Can you remember the date? I actually can't remember the date. But I know I came. And every time, and I'm going to cry, every time I remember, it brings me to tears that the God of creation, the God of universe, should look at this scrawny 9-year-old child who lived in Mucky Mexborough. That's what everybody called it because it was a coal mining place. Might come to Jesus the King of Kings. And he'd say, welcome. And I asked him to forgive my sins. And he did. Can you remember the day? Does it make you rejoice and be glad? The Redeemer has come. Come to you, come to me, come to all who have invited him. I had heard the message of the cross. I'd heard that Jesus went to the cross for me to take my sins away. And I don't understand God's mind, but I still know that he loved me and he loves me. He saved me and he keeps me. He loved me, he loved you enough to die for us. It's very, very personal. Your name, spelt properly, pronounced properly in his book. Isn't it a wow thing? Not that I did anything at all, except come to him in faith. And it's just amazing. I became numbered among the chosen. We are chosen. Not that God goes along, you know, pick you, not have you. Chosen. Because he died for us. And we accepted. What amazing grace. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't it thrill your heart? And I've put here, read verse 2. Who having been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, by the blood of Jesus, were chosen. And we can come to him, and we can come closer to him, and we can talk to him in prayer. How much do you want to know him more? Oh, I want to know him more. How often do you talk to him? And our pastor at Harrogate once said in a message, I rarely pray for longer than 15 minutes. And you could hear people going, but he said, I rarely go 15 minutes without praying. How often do we talk to him? Is it a quick 5 minutes before we get up or when we go to bed? Or do we talk to him through the day? Do we tell him, oh, this has gone wrong, and oh, that was great? No, do we tell him our joys and our sorrows? Because he knows you, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he wants you to talk to him, and me too. But there's more than that. There's more about knowing more. To those who've trusted him, to those who have been to him for salvation, who are counted amongst the elect, the Bible tells us about hungering and thirsting and being filled. Not just coming and, you know, that'll be enough, thank you. But about building the faith that we've come to. We used to sing a hymn, more about Jesus would I know. Do you know it? More about Jesus would I know, more of his love to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Is that our desire? Is that my desire? More about Jesus. Do you want more? He's there, he's got it all ready for you. But you need to ask, do you want more? When I was a child, there were two words that came up very often in church, in conversation between Christians, and we don't hear them very much. And these two words are saved and sanctified. Sanctified used to be almost misused to mean sort of holier than thou and sanctimonious. But sanctified means whole and going on with God and learning of him. I met a man, Gerald. When I first met Gerald, he's deaf and he went to St. Thomas's. When I first met Gerald, his daughter took me to him to introduce him. And, you know, this is my father, Gerald. And I put my hand out and he didn't shake it. And I thought, oh, what have I done wrong? You know? And he looked me in the eye and he said, "You saved!" Sign language. "You saved?" I said, "Yes," and put my hand out. No, he wasn't ready to shake it. "How?" I said, "I met Jesus and asked him to come." Well, I signed. "Oh, when?" So I told him when. And then he shook my hand. We don't be direct anymore, do we? We go round the corner, but deaf people tend to be very direct. But the challenge, "Are you saved?" I think our answers would be yes. But I know also that there are those who we know and those who we love and those who we care for who are not. And we need to pray for them. And we need to try. Last night, at New Begin, you know, it was so, so victorious, wasn't it? It was, and the man who was preaching was offering tracts to anyone who wanted to take them, to give them to others. And he was talking about using every opportunity. You know, here's a book, here's a tract, here's, take them, do you know? And he was so alive and on fire to reach people with the message of Jesus. Knowing him should make us want everybody else to know him too. So it's not going to church, though we do. It's not knowing hymns. It's not knowing creeds. It's knowing Jesus. And he wants to know us more. And he wants us to know him more. I told you it was very simple. The other word, sanctified. Peter in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, talks really about, where are we? About the sanctifying work of the Spirit. It's in verse 2. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the process of learning more about Jesus, the process of changing our life to become more in line with Jesus, the process of reading his word more and taking it in and putting it into action and obeying, the process of drawing closer to him. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. By the way, the opposite of sanctifying is profanity. Just thought you'd like to know, because I like words. Verse 16 of 1 Peter 1. These numbers are so small, I can't find them. Say, "Be holy, for I am holy." Peter sums it up. Just as he who called you holy, who called you is holy, so be ye holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Holiness used to be talked about a lot and doesn't seem to be anymore. It's not obsequious fawning. It's holiness in thought, in attitude, in action, in word. Isn't God's word searching? Am I holy in my thoughts? Am I holy in my actions? Am I holy in the way I come to God? Oh, make me more like Jesus. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Do we want to grow? Do we want to know more about Jesus? I do. And how much I fail, but I want to know him. I want to be more like him. Teach me. So having been saved and numbered amongst the elect, we're kept. But we're kept not in our own strength, but in the security of God's eternal keeping. But it's not just that we are kept. It's our inheritance. We're kept to an inheritance. Peter writes in verses 3, 4 and 5, or as the AV puts it, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time when Jesus comes again. So, rejoice because you're loved. Rejoice because you're chosen. Rejoice because you're in his safe keeping. And I want to read Jude, the last verse says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Kept by the power of God. May we all know his keeping and grow in him. Amen.